And here we are on YouTube, at least I hope so. Having a bit of technical issues with setting YouTube up, but I think we're going now. Can you guys confirm out there in Skype land? We are, okay. Overtime, off took overtime. Emmanuel here, Kyle over there, Rob T. Firefly, and Gila and Alex over in Skype land. You all make it okay?
Hello.
All right, good.
Hey.
I don't see any viewers. Are there no viewers, or am I broken on this end?
I would never say you're broken. However, my YouTube does seem to claim that we have 26 people watching us now. We're here, we're in, and people are starting to chime in the chat. Hi, everybody. We're glad we're all back.
Okay, those 26 people might not seem like much, but each one of them is broadcasting to several thousand more through various technical means. I don't know how it works, but it does, and we are here. To continue talking from the off-the-hook perspective, we are actually going to talk about the recently concluded HOPE conference, HOPE XV, which took place not this weekend, but 2 weekends ago. We were so tired that we couldn't possibly do a show last Wednesday, and it's a good thing, too, because we were in no state to do that. But we are doing a show now, and, of course, there's also no way we could have fit everything that we want to talk about tonight into off-the-hook, so we decided we're going to do it here and take phone calls. That way the people who came to the conference can share their experiences. And I guess we should give out the phone number, which is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, so people can talk to us and share their experiences. But why don't we start with the folks who are here now? Anyone want to share their experiences at Hope XV?
I will say I had a great time at Hope. It was my first Hope in person in 6 years, which is forever for something that has been a biennial part of my life for so long. And it was really good to be back, guys. It was great. It was my first time at the new venue at St. John's, which I loved. I caught up with so many people that I needed to. I went to talks. I learned things. I hung out. It was a wonderful time.
Yeah, you know, it was our second conference at St. John's. We did it the first time in 2022, but this one was totally different because we used different buildings. And that's the beauty of a college campus, is that you can kind of move around until you find something that works. And I think we found something that really works this time. Last time we were in a building called D'Angelo, which is a great building, multiple floors and all that, but it just was kind of institutional, which is what you would expect at an institution. It didn't really feel like we were all together. We were kind of spread out throughout this building and one other building that we had then, too. Here, though, we had a bunch of buildings that were kind of clumped together, as well as an outdoor space, which was really cool. So what you had was constant crowd of people, both inside and outside and in transit from one place to another. And I'm hearing this over and over again. It just felt more like a community. It just felt like there was so much more going on. Vendors in particular were thrilled that there were more people expressing an interest. I saw a comment where one vendor said that it was not uncommon last time to only have one person per half hour. And this time they could barely keep up. There were so many people coming by all the time. And, you know, the reason for that in 2022 was because the vending room was down the hall. It wasn't in the middle of everything because there really was no middle of everything. There was just a big building. And, it worked for some purposes, but this definitely worked better, I think. Alex, any thoughts from you? Alex?
Yeah, I'm trying to unmute. Yeah.
It's not hard. People have mastered this.
Yeah, I know. Reason that, you know, I'm using this Bluetooth keyboard that disconnects itself if I'm not typing. So then when I try to hit spacebar to unmute myself, that doesn't work. And then I have to get the mouse out and, you know, move from desktops. And so
Windows 3.1, all right. Let me just continue to recommend that to solve these problems.
Well, back in the day when Windows 3.1, interestingly enough, though, technically, they are not running Windows 3.1 as their operating system in Southwest, to go back to that for 1 second, because it wasn't until Windows 95 that when you installed it that it actually became the operating system. Windows 3.1 and 3.11 were just programs that you ran on the DOS operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drop down to a DOS prompt when you had installed Windows 3.1, which, by the way, back in the day, we used to call that the six disk virus, right? Because it would just screw your computer up constantly, and it came on six 3.5 high-density floppies. But if you drop down to a DOS prompt in 3.1, 3.11, and you typed VER, which was the command, the DOS command, to tell you what operating system you were utilizing, it would tell you MS-DOS 6.1 or MS-DOS 5.0, whatever the DOS version was. It wasn't until Windows 95 that Windows actually became the operating system of the machine. And that was a big change. I remember when I dropped down to a DOS prompt to type VER, it was terrifying to see that Windows was the operating system. This was a really scary thought. So what the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
Hope.
Right. Yeah, hope.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I think... And I've been to so many. I was at the first one, and I've been to almost every single one of them. I think there were maybe two or three that I had missed. But I think this was one of my favorites. It really was. Things came together this time, yeah. Emmanuel. 2 years ago, I thought it was great, but it was a little bit too dispersed. And having to go up and down that damn hill in the heat and stuff was...
We didn't get very many complaints in 2022, but the complaints we got were two things, all right? The lack of food options, which was, a fair point. We only had a Starbucks in that building, and then you had to pretty much trudge off campus where, there were a bunch of good places, but it was about three or four blocks away. And the other complaint was the hill that people had to go up to get to the D'Angelo building. Now, how are we going to solve a hill? We can't just tear down the hill. But we did. We did solve it because we chose other buildings instead that were at the bottom of the hill. So, yeah, right. we listened. And we brought food trucks onto campus. And that was one of the biggest hits. It was incredible. We had a waffle truck and a burger and fry truck, I think. Who said they were going to have vegan options and didn't, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, the trucks I thought were great because it allowed people to come together, to eat together. Yeah, there was just something about this Hope, too, where I felt like people were exceptionally friendly. People came together. If you were at the last Hope and then you're at this Hope and you see people for the first time in 2 years, it was just great. I feel like I went to more talks at this Hope than I have in many Hopes past because so many of them were just so incredibly awesome and great. And I think this one was unique in a sense because we got so used to Hotel Pennsylvania. We wound up doing the same things. But now that it was our second time being at St. John's over in Queens, it allowed us to establish new rituals, new traditions, as Devo would say, right? Didn't they have this album, New Traditionalists, or something like that, I think? But but establishing these new rituals and these new traditions, I think, is part of the fun here. And some of those rituals involve going out for lunch in Flushing, Queens, and taking advantage of the amazing amount of really diverse ethnic food that is right around you. I mean, a 10-minute drive away, and you feel like you're in China in many respects.
Yeah.
And this is something that you don't get that. I mean, I live in Manhattan, so I rarely venture out into Queens, and you begin to realize what you're missing when you stick to one borough most of your life here, right? I mean, there's an exceptional amount there. But for me, this one was really, really great. I had a very tight crew of people that we were hanging out with over there. Everyone got along so exceptionally well. Everyone was so welcoming. And I was busy during this one, too. I did a talk on Friday night at 8 o'clock. I did a talk on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. And then I did another one on Sunday at 5 p.m. So this is also the busiest Hope, I think, that I've had. I usually do one talk for the entire conference. This time I did three. And I had a great time.
In fairness, though, you were on with other people. It's not like we're just showcasing Alex.
I was on with other people,
right.
Yeah.
So exactly. We try to open up to as many people as possible, and we had a full schedule. Gila, you had something to say. Go ahead.
I do, actually. So the chat is, I'm not going to say blowing up, but people have a lot to say. general praise for the food trucks. Waffles and Dingus is getting big love here. The Burger People as well. People are saying the fries were great. Our friend Lex says, I didn't have them, but the waffles smelled amazing. I honestly walked outside and sniffed it for half an hour at one point. Hearing good things about the lemonade, the fry sauce, the burgers. Sorry to have missed all of this. And a note from KB6NU's amateur radio classes saying, I just want to thank you guys for holding Hope XV. I taught the ham radio class on Saturday, and it worked out really great. We had 25 or so in the class, and they all passed the test.
Awesome. Including, I believe, the youngest. Was she 9 years old, I think? Was one of the
something like that,
newly licensed hams there. And I just thought it was amazing that, you know, you had this crew of ham radio people, but then you had anarchists and the people from Distributed Denial Secrets, and everybody was so respectful, diverse, getting along, learning, talking. You know, it's the dream. It really is. And you know, we don't take credit for that. That's the community doing this. And it was really an incredible event to see. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one. We have a phone call, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's take that phone call then. I wonder who is on the phone. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, and I enjoyed Hope.
It's Rebel, and Rebel, I did see you at Hope, and looked like you were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I especially liked the Hacker Talent Show. That was funny.
I have yet to see that, but I know Jason Scott did an amazing job, as he always does. Rob, did you have something to add?
I did see that, and Rebel, you were amazing.
But Rebel was in it?
Well,
oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
I did my, I couldn't stop laughing in the middle of me trying to sing something, but the audience loved it. I have a video of it, actually. If you guys want to see it, I don't know.
Well, everyone's going to see it when we put the videos out, which we're working on right
guys,
now, in
you
fact.
You guys videotape it.
Yes.
I noticed that, well, first of all, last week WBAI said you were on the air, but you weren't.
Well, we didn't say we were on the air. I don't know how they said we were on the air, but maybe the website said that.
You know, the schedule
yeah,
said that.
It was incorrect.
I notice that when I'm listening to the radio, I go to 99.5 FM WBAI, but if I go to 99.7 FM or 99.3 FM,
don't tell me you hear Haitian music.
No. I hear static, but I hear a little bit of the broadcast of WBAI just like muffled in the background, just a little. Not
okay. Well, it's probably true of any radio station if you tune to the
next
frequency.
It doesn't happen on any. No, if I did it with 100.3 WRD100.
You've tried every station in the New York metro area because.
Well,
you know,
I tried multiple of the stations in the New York.
Every
area.
Frequency is different. Everything next to the frequency is either occupied by a station fairly nearby or very distant. It's really, you know, it's impossible to say. But I would imagine our signal acts the same way as other signals.
Well, yeah, but the thing, why your signal acts the same way as other signals? Like the signals coming from the Empire State Building, you're couple blocks away. Why when I do it with one, let's say Z100, 100.3, I think it is, if I go to 100.1 or 100.5, I just hear static. Mm-hmm. If I go to like 92.3, if I go to 92.5 or 92.1, I hear static.
Okay, Rebel, let me ask you this. How many radios have you tried this on?
Just one.
Oh, that's the problem. Okay, well, you need to do this on at least a dozen different radios. And if they all do the same thing, then you have something. Then you might have something. But this could be an idiosyncrasy of your radio.
That's true. It's a car radio. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, this is a question for the technical people at the radio station, of which none of us are.
Right. Let's see. And I think I would like to get my ham radio license. I didn't know you could do it so quickly.
You missed a golden opportunity.
Yeah, I did actually. It was a quick, you know, thing. But I know there's a place, there's a, the amateur radio league, I think it's ARRL.
Yeah, Relay League, I think, ARRL, right.
Yeah, they're the ones who were at Hope, and they have, you know, listings of ways to take the courses. there's an 8-week course. It's every Tuesday. It's up in Westchester in Valhalla, and that starts in September. Just go to the ARRL website, and they'll tell you, they'll give you a link for that. I may start doing it. It's a free course, too. You just got to pay $35 for the manual and $35 for the cup.
Well, it sounds like someone on the radio or on YouTube is recommending that you do that, so you should.
Yeah, I think because I have a CB radio, that I think it's 10 meter band or whatever, or regular. That's what they call simplex, meaning you just key it up and you just it broadcasts 1 or 2 miles or maybe 3 miles away. But the ham radio, amateur radio, can broadcast maybe a little further, not only 4 or 5 or 6 miles away, but you could get, if there's a repeater nearby, you can get that. That's all, you know, in the course that you'll be taking.
Any other memories of Hope Rebel?
Let's see. I got somebody to show me how to put links on. Maybe if these people were using links, they wouldn't have the microphone.
We actually saw you at the 2600 meeting, and you were getting somebody to get links on your laptop there, I believe.
Yeah, I did do that. Now, and I did get it on my desktop. I had to update it. I had to go to Ubuntu and update the pseudo-app update thing because I didn't have the latest version of links when I was
trying to update. You got to do. Yep.
So, but the thing is that when I go to certain websites, a link does not work if you go to a website that requires Java or if you go to a website that requires passwords like online banking or your phone bill or things like that, or things that require you to enter personal information like credit card information. So, but somebody at the 2600 meeting a couple months ago say that there's a way around that to make it so that the website accepts the links.
It probably involves not using links, but that's just my guess.
I don't know. Somebody said that there's a way around or a command that you can make it so that you don't, so that the website doesn't see what you're using or something. I don't know.
Well, let us know if you find it. That would be interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring that up. Not that I just like to do it like the old school way, like, you know, like terminal and like the text terminal and, you know. And that's why I like to use links.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you use links and it says button. I don't know why that, because the links will say button and you'll press enter and it won't do anything. I don't know why.
You're the links expert here right now because you're the only one using it. So you have to tell us these things.
Yeah, there's so many commands and options, and you got to learn all these.
But
things.
Just keep in mind, when links was popular, people weren't doing the kinds of things on the web then that they are now.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you're having difficulty with, you know, super secret information like credit card numbers and things like that.
Right.
Whatever, we're going to move on. We have other people who want to share their memories.
Right.
So thank you for calling. Thank you for being there.
Yeah, of course.
See you next time.
Yep.
All right. Gila, go ahead.
I do have a non-Hope question to share. A commenter named Legit Hats, or called Legit Hats, asks, has there been an issue with distributing the most recent issue of 2600? The Barnes & Noble in Lake Grove still has the spring issue. I'm assuming that's Lake Grove, Illinois.
In where?
Lake Grove.
That's in Long Island.
Illinois.
Well, maybe there's one in Illinois, too, but there's one in Long Island.
Isn't there one? Okay.
I don't know. I don't know every town in the country, but...
Legit Hats, if you could tell us
what makes you think it's
in?
Illinois? Hold on a second. Yeah. Does he say Illinois?
No, I might be wrong.
Yeah, but Gila said Illinois.
Yeah, you guys know. I'm very Midwestern.
Yeah, you are.
Kind of how my brain works.
Is there
so that was my assumption.
I want to know. Is there a Lake Grove in Illinois?
Hang on.
There's Downers Grove.
Well, something...
Yes, Lake Grove, Illinois.
Wow.
It's village of Lake Grove.
Because Lake Grove, New York, is on Long Island, and there's a mall there, and there's a Barnes & Noble in that mall. So there's a Barnes & Noble on Lake Grove, New York, and Lake Grove, Illinois. Imagine that.
Legit Hat says Smith Haven Mall.
That's New York. That's not Illinois.
Well, it just said Lake Grove, and I apologize.
But
so, listeners, please make sure you mention your state when you mention
but
your state.
Why did we think it was Illinois in the first place, and then you went and found one in Illinois, a Lake Grove? That's unbelievable.
When I hear Lake Grove,
right.
I think Illinois. I don't think Long Island.
No, that's fine.
That's just a me thing.
No, I understand that, but you just looked it up, and you found one in Illinois.
I knew there was one in Illinois. I just needed to confirm that.
All right. So the letter writer never said what state it was in.
He just said Lake... I'm sorry. They just said Lake Grove.
Okay, this is why, folks, when you write in, you got to specify what you're talking about as far as location, or we get very confused and agitated.
The answer is no.
For what? What's the question?
No, we're not having problems with distribution at the...
Oh, well, right. Gee whiz, when was the letter written?
It wasn't a letter. It was a
What text. Was it then?
It was a comment in the YouTube
They're
chat
chatting.
About...
Oh, I don't see
ago.
That. I don't see that.
I know, that's why I asked the question.
Right. Well, 10 minutes ago, that was in the
ten
past.
Minutes ago,
I don't, you know,
apparently. Maybe they also have the new issue and they just didn't put them next to each other.
Yeah, it should be out. I mean, it came out before Hope, right? And it's now well after Hope, so it definitely should be on the shelf. So I would ask to speak to the manager and ask them where the hell the issue is, because they got it. They should have it. Must be in the back somewhere.
Okay. Legit has, there's your question. Also, again, if you're mentioning your city, please also mention your state. And Howard Levine asks, what's the phone number to call in? And this is a good time to remind you that the number is 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK if you're feeling salty.
There's a call, by the way.
There's a call. Okay. There is a call waiting.
Since we're talking about that.
But I wanted to bring up something about Chinatown, too, because we went to that place again late Sunday night. We talked about it last Hope. It's called Hope to See You Again.
Not anymore.
I know. That was part of the story, Kyle. Spoiler alert.
I didn't spoil it.
Well, you sort of did, but...
It's called Advancing the Narrative.
We didn't... No, it's not called that. It's got a different name. We went there... 2 years ago, and discovered after we had gone there that the place was called Hope to See You Again, which is funny because, no, actually, Hope to See You, not again. It was funny because we came from the Hope Conference to go to this place, and it was very authentic Chinese, a very interesting place. This time we went back there. The place is still there, but it's called...
Long Time No See.
Long Time No See. I didn't understand that at all. It just had a different name, because every time I put the name into Google, it gave me a different name with that address. So I guess I should have, you know, been able to figure it out, but it was still a little bit confusing. The other weird thing is that when I called the place, you know how sometimes the name of the place shows up when you call them, even if you haven't called them before? It's not like caller ID is telling you. It's like some kind of other database your phone is accessing. Well, when I called them, it says Stanley Steam Carpet Cleaning, you know, which is an unusual name for a Chinese restaurant. But that's what shows up if you call their number, at least on my phone. So I couldn't figure out what was going on. But the upshot is we were in there till 2 in the morning on a Sunday night in Flushing, and that is New York. And that is just awesome. The other thing that was weird, you know, Kyle and I were walking around Main Street in Flushing, and it wasn't that late. It was like 8 o'clock at night, and places were closing. But the place that we went, where this, what was the place called again? Hope to See You. It's now...
Long Time No See.
I can't remember that. Where that place was open, it was hopping. There were all kinds of different places open after midnight on a Sunday. I don't know where that part of Flushing is, but I have to find it again. It's magical. It really is.
Yeah, this is a bunch of...
Okay, Kyle...
Just choked.
I'm sorry.
On my own words.
Yeah.
My point was there were accommodations and, like, places people would stay. So I imagine other attendees were there and found late night stuff.
You can stay.
Pardon my cough.
That's okay, Kyle. I've been gagging a lot recently, too. You can stay in a hotel in Flushing, right on Main Street, too, or nearby. Actually, there was a hotel across the street from Hope to... I got to get this. I got to remember the name.
It is a cool place, though.
Lucky to snow. Nice to see.
What the hell is wrong?
I can't remember this for some reason. Long Time No See. Okay. Across the street from Long Time No See was a hotel. So if you stayed there, you would be guaranteed food all the time, and you wouldn't be far from Hope. The other thing that was cool was we drove the 2600 van, which, by the way, was dead as a doornail a couple of days before Hope, because we didn't start it until right before Hope, and then realized, oh boy, you developed some major problems being parked. We had to bring it to a mechanic who said there's no way this is going to get fixed in time for Hope. It's weird that he knew what Hope was, but he said that right away. I got a call Friday night or Friday afternoon saying, hey, it's all done. So we had to go all the way out to the island to get the van and drive it all the way back in. And it was there for Saturday and Sunday. And on Saturday, we drove the van from the conference to the Emerald Pub, which is right next to the two hotels, which are the official Hope Hotels, about a mile away down on Horace Harding. And it was just great to park illegally right in front of the Emerald Pub, because we're a phone company van, and just go in there and hang out with some people that were part of the conference. It was really fun. Yes, Kila?
Okay, I am curious now. So looking at the map, I see this. So it was Hope to see you 2 years ago. It's long time no see now.
Yes.
Do you think that the next time you go back in 2 years, they'll have changed the name again to something additionally thematic?
I think yes, but I think we're going to have to not go there. We're going to have to find a different place.
Oh, no.
We're kind of being too predictable and talking about it on the radio, which I think is dumb. So
That's true.
Are we going to take this call?
Oh, I guess we should, lest they get upset. Okay, and good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yeah, I did have a few suggestions for the next Hope conference, if there is one.
Okay.
Continue providing the printed program guide.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, so definitely keep that. And try to get buildings that are adjacent to each other to minimize the amount of time you have to walk between presentations.
Well, these buildings were literally next door to each other. You couldn't get closer.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that would be desirable. You don't want buildings that are on opposite ends of the campus.
No, we don't.
So keep that up.
Yeah, you don't want to take a bus to another lecture. Yes, we hear that.
We got you.
Okay, and is there a Google Drive that you guys created that where presenters could upload their PowerPoint presentations or PDFs or different documents that they used? Did you set that up, or did you not do that?
Every speaker was different. If they requested something to be ready for them, we did our best to make sure it was.
We didn't institute sort of like a mandatory repository of any materials you present, but we left it open for presenters to choose to direct people to where they might have copies of their slides, or they would do things like pause at a slide that provided links to other resources or other references of their work.
We found most speakers are most comfortable bringing their own laptop, plugging it in, and just controlling it themselves. So well, when they ask for something else, we do our best.
Okay. So if I go to the website, could I find links to some of the slide decks on the conference?
Not right now, but when we get all the videos up, it'll be fairly complete then. And people are working on that right now, so we just want to make it as good as possible, and it'll be available online.
But you're not, your expectation of access to the presenter's slides is not something that will be provided, to be clear.
Okay.
You're going to have to take that up with the speakers.
Yeah, unless the speakers themselves offer that.
Okay, and I guess that applies to the workshops as well, right?
Workshops, I don't believe, are recorded. I think that's one of the features of workshops. Rob, did you have something to contribute? Go ahead.
Yeah, just a lot of the speakers at Hope and events like that, if you look up their own social media or their own website, a lot of people put up their own slides from talks they give. And so if you have particular talks you're interested in, do a search on the speaker or see if they've linked their social media or whatever, and you may be able to contact them that way and either find their slides already posted or ask them if they put them up anywhere.
Okay, that's a good idea. And one last suggestion from picking up from what you were talking about on the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
For the next conference, I think two keynote speakers you should try to get are the CEOs of CrowdStrike and Cellebrite.
I think
those would be very illuminating talks if you could get those two.
Well, it might be a good opportunity for them to make connections to get their next job, because undoubtedly they'll be looking for one by then. We're open to it.
Okay, and do you have the address for that long time no see? I'd like to check that out.
All I know is if you type that into Google, it should come up in Flushing. Or if you type Hope to See You, you'll see it change to long time no see, and that'll give you the address.
Okay, is it near the Main Street subway station?
See, I don't know. It must be. It's in Flushing. It must. Gila has some info on this. Go ahead, Gila.
It's at 133-42 39th Avenue, Suite 210 in Flushing.
Yeah, and what that means, Suite 210, you have to walk through places to get to that place.
It's so in...
They have outdoor seating, too?
Yeah, they have outdoor seating.
They have outdoor seating. So, 1 Fulton Square is the shopping area that it's in. Okay. There are a bunch of malls in that general area, a couple blocks from Tangram, but... So this is in 1 Fulton Square, so it's exterior, and there's a whole situation. But, yeah, it's 1 Fulton Square is the answer, caller.
I'll check it out.
They have
all right, thanks.
A lot of good things. I'm going to endorse their cognac selection.
Yeah, you got cognac for some reason. It was good. It was really good.
Braised peanuts and edamame. That's a good starter. That was kind of cool.
On the same plate, yeah.
That was well, since we've talked of boiled peanuts, it was a nice... appropriate reminder.
And my can of boiled peanuts is still here. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm certainly not getting into it tonight.
In case of emergency.
Yeah, it'll be an emergency if I do open that.
Don't worry about it.
But, Gila, how far is that address from Main Street? Because that was what I found so weird, is that we just we took one of the share ride things and just asked them to go there. And, you know, we got out and we were there. But it was like a magical kingdom because it was midnight and this place was so full of life. You know, even Manhattan, it's hard to find that these days. And it just felt like it wasn't like what Main Street Flushing was like at that hour.
So I'm looking at a map right now, and it looks like 1 Fulton Square is about 2 blocks from the 7th stop on Main Street. It's about a block north of Roosevelt Avenue, a block west of Main Street.
Okay.
So
it's close to Main Street then, all right.
It's close to Main Street. I have been saying for years, Queens is where amazing things happen, and there's so much, and you can be in so many different places in such a small amount of space, and I just stabbed myself with my fingernail.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We should try to get there. Hurt. We should try to get there from that transit location.
Well, yeah,
it's just usually by that time at the end of the conference.
It's weird because you would think Main Street would be the place where everything's happening, and it's really not. It's the side streets.
Yeah, and we're usually trying to get there quickly. And
well, we're trying to get there quickly because I'm convinced that's going to close as soon as we get there. But it turned out we were there for a long time, and it didn't close, and there were a lot of people in there, and it was really awesome. They give you an iPad or something as a menu?
Yeah, they don't have any kind of printed menu, so you make all of your orders electronically, and you can continue to order drinks and things just by adding and sending it.
It's cool because you say send to kitchen, and then your drink just arrives like 25 seconds later. It takes a little longer, though, because you only have one iPad per table, and if you're there with, like, 6 people, everyone's got to peruse it, and there are a lot of things on the menu. Yes, Gila, go ahead.
So I'm looking now at the 1 Fulton Square restaurant listing. This is incredible. Szechuan Mountain House. I feel like we ate at Szechuan Mountain House.
I think there's one in New York City.
We did at least once, but the prior iteration of it, I think we had frequented more after Off the Hook.
Right. Like, St. Mark's.
Or during some meeting weekend.
Right.
Not sure.
Right.
Choking on my words again.
But I distinctly recall. So, yeah, there's like 6 Szechuan restaurants. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit. I think there's 4. There's a French bakery. Hope to See You is still what it's called here. And this is one small place in the area. Again, there's another mall not far that has a conveyor belt sushi place.
Wow.
That,
And it's probably like a multi-floor one with elevators and everything.
Wouldn't shock me.
Goes all throughout the town. But one note of caution, though. To people, if you have a lot of dietary restrictions, it might not be the best place to go to, because first of all, it's kind of hard to communicate. We had one guy there who spoke English, which was great, but you're kind of rolling the dice as far as ordering things, and it's not always 100% with the details as to what's in a particular dish. So they might leave out the fact that there's meat in something.
I will say, though, one of the hosts there is very fluent was incredibly accommodating to people who did not want meat or other things and was able to facilitate that with no problem.
I just don't know if he's always there, but, yeah, he was very good, very, very helpful. We were the only non-Asian people there, so that also indicates that's something that is authentic and worth taking the trip for. Anyway, enough about this one place.
We have a phone call.
It's just an example of all the different things that you can get in the area. We have a phone call? Okay, let's take that phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. And what planet are you calling from?
I'm calling from Flushing, Queens.
Oh, my goodness.
I was the guy with the dog.
Oh, wow. We saw you several times. Is your dog named Mildred or Evelyn?
Evelyn.
Yeah.
And I was the guy that lost the radio and you guys found it. I got to say one thing. The conference was great and everybody was very helpful.
Cool. I mean,
I had a great time, except that some of the rooms were just too hot. It was just too muggy, but that's not your fault.
Well, we try to have the air conditioning on as much as possible, but I know in the terrace, sometimes it just got, there are too many people in there, and the doors are being opened a lot. And,
there was also a moment that some of the food service had an issue with ventilation, and they had to open a bunch of windows, which naturally let all of the air conditioning out, and it kind of ruined the afternoon from a climate perspective in there. But it was better to get the air circulating for however hot, but that was unfortunate as well.
No, we saw you a couple of times.
With the lock picking, they had lock picking.
Right.
I had a lot of fun trying to open those locks. The only comment I could make is I wish there was a way. I don't know, you might have been able to do it, but to stream the audio from when you're in the lectures, because some of the lectures, which the audio was a little bit hard to hear. Maybe that's because I use hearing aids.
Uh-huh. Okay, we can look into that for sure.
Yeah, so if you got an iPhone or an Android, you can just go to a website, log in, so that you can listen to
the
audio. Well,
it was all being streamed online, so that option was there. If you went to the Hope.net website, you could pretty much pick between the three tracks and listen. It might be off by a second or two.
Okay, but had a great time. You had the guys from Ham Radio there, but they didn't have the RF Cafe. But other than that, it was really a fun time. And you went over to that bar over on Horace Harding. That was great.
Yeah. Did you go there, too?
Yeah, I was there.
Awesome.
Weren't you guys there to about 1? I left about 2 o'clock. I came in on this over there Saturday night.
Awesome. Wow, you just missed us then in the van. But we saw you a couple of times with your dog, and it looked like the two of you were just communicating well, and it was just great to see that teamwork.
Yeah, well, she's a great dog. She's a highly trained animal. And are you guys going to be over at Citibank on the 2nd?
Is that the next meeting, August? It's possible. It's possible. We never close the door to that.
You guys put a great job on that little circuit board. What is that circuit board?
Oh, for the badges.
Okay, yeah, we didn't actually get to talk about this a whole lot.
Yeah, we had a donation, kind of a last-minute donation of these really cool hardware badges that were given out to everybody who attended in person.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. Essentially, it's an ESP32 chip, which itself is an incredibly capable chip or system-on-chip. It's they're really profoundly powerful and powering a lot of some of the newer microcontrollers. And, you know, this is the stuff that's being used in all kinds of remote control devices, things that are wireless, things that interface with different sensors and stuff. So it's essentially a project board that allows you to work with that, communicate with that, add on to that chip itself.
What language does that run?
What language does it run? Does anybody have that info? We don't seem to know, but
is that running machine language, or is it running machine language or some other type of programming language?
Kind of. It's running a lot of stuff. It is essentially itself darn near a fully functional computer. It can run the RISC-V architecture, if that means something to you. I didn't have a lot of time to play with it yet, and I'm probably not the person to try to answer that question. That's a fantastic question.
Yeah,
but
there are people who know this.
It is something that you can program and customize yourself or use the software that was included with it. I believe it is running a version of software that or firmware and operating system that we preloaded, but you could presumably reinstall firmware and software of your choice that this type of architecture understands, as it's not locked or it's not beholden to just the software that we programmed it with. But the software that we programmed with it allowed you to do things like have the LED sequence, so it lights up. For those that can see this, there's also the vibration mechanism. So you had like a haptic way to communicate. So if someone saw you, they could press a button in the corner of it and it would vibrate. So you would know someone was buzzing you, and sort of communicating that way. So there were some sort of games and things like that that you were able to take advantage of. But it also has the ability to use.
I'm sorry to interrupt. By the way, did that cope? Is it going to be at St. John's again?
I certainly hope so. It seems like a perfect location.
Oh, yeah. Well, very convenient for me, about 2 miles from my house.
That's awesome. Wow.
It was only about maybe $18 by Lyft.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not bad. And when you consider what, if you're coming from your home, it's definitely a great savings than staying in a hotel. But for those people who stayed on campus, you know, super cheap, under $100 a night, you know, to stay in a place that's right there, that was pretty cool. That was pretty amazing. And the campus is very, very accommodating.
Oh, they were very, very nice people. Again,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys will come down to the meeting. They'll probably come. But again, yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, we hope to see you at the next one.
All right, guys. Have a great evening.
All right. Thanks for calling. Just one example of the widely diverse crowd that we got at the conference. It was simply amazing.
Yeah, I had a really a lot of fun, and I did interact with the dog a little bit. Dog, Evelyn, is that her name?
Evelia, I think
Evelie,
you said.
But, I remember I was having a sandwich, and he came around and made sure to check with me that she didn't go for the sandwich, but she was definitely checking out my my sandwich, and uh-huh. I was friendly, but I didn't want to tempt her either.
Right.
But it was all very professional.
Uh-huh.
We have another call.
Yes, we have another call. I'll give out the phone number, though, because it's not enough time to give out the phone number before the phone rings, but 802-321-4225. But if you get voicemail, that means we can't hear the phone ringing because someone else is on it. So you have to just keep trying. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Oh, my goodness. How you doing, sir?
How you doing? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I try. I call like maybe 100 times.
Wow. Well, this is your lucky call, then.
Been tied up here.
Yeah, I've never been to those conferences, but I have listened to your show on BAI, and there was a show that used to come on afterwards called the personal computer show with
that's right
fine gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there was so many changes in BAI, man. They just like really rearranged programs went away. Linda Perry is gone, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
They have Bob Henley's a very nice man. I like him a lot, with wonderful candor. But I have been very angry, man. I've been trying to contain my anger, and I don't know why they can't keep stuff the way it was. I bought an Epson XP4200 series printer from Target.
Uh-oh. I think I know where this is going.
Nah, the thing is that back in the days, when you used to buy hardware, they used to give you an installation CD, and it used to come with the connecting cords. Nowadays, they don't include power cords, which I understand because the people that make the cords, they have to make a profit. So I had to buy a USB-B cord from Best Buy. I said, fine. even though it was $10, that's $10 I could have saved. I said, fine. So when I get home, this was Sunday. Monday, I try to use my new printer. Come to find out, you have to have an internet connection to install hardware devices. I don't have internet at home. I just have my mobile phone,
right.
AT&T. That's all I have. So I said, okay, I'll go to Target. I'll get me a, because he uses a Type-C. I'll get a Type-C USB connector, and I'll just hook that up to the printer. Apparently, it doesn't work with a smartphone. You have to have, like, some kind of desktop or laptop. Because with the smartphones, you know, it's kind of funny. They don't have the whole CPU and stuff like that. They just don't have the capacity like a desktop.
Right.
Even if you use like your smartphone in desktop mode, it's still not going to work. Because they sent me an email. They said, click on the link, go to Epson website, click on the model, and they said, look for the instructions how to install the drivers. But I can't get it from the smartphone. And so I was like, I was really angry because I'm like, they should know that everyone does not have home internet.
Right. Well, what I'm curious about is when you bought the printer, did it say on the box that an internet connection was required or that anything was required other than what you had just bought?
Well, actually, you're probably older than me, but I'm old school, and I haven't bought a hardware device in years. So I assume that, CDs are pretty much obsolete now. I said they might come with a thumb drive.
Right.
With the driver's needs. But I think in most, like back in the days, you didn't even have to have an internet connection because everything was on the CD.
Right, right.
You know? But that's the thing, they always change things, and that's what really made me so upset. So, make a long story short, I have a Jetpack, I have an old Verizon Jetpack I had laying around for a few years. I just called Verizon today. They said luckily I can reactivate my Jetpack. So I said, you can take the lowest plan, which is 5 gigs every month for $40. I said, fine. I'll just pay that one time just so I could, get this printer working. I'll use the rest of the data to browse the web. And that's that. They said after they took my payment, they said that the SIM card, it uses the slightly larger nano SIM card.
Uh-huh.
So they said that was out. That was out of date. So they are going to send me one. I should get it on Friday.
Wow.
But you see what you have to go through.
Yeah, this is insane. It's insane because you should be able to do things the way that it works for you. If technology advances to the point where it locks people out because they're not doing exactly the same thing, then that technology has failed. That's not what advance means. That's a regression. Rob, I think you had something to contribute. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is a rough position to be in, to like have to go into a store and buy an appliance and then take it home and realize you need the internet for it. And that's something that I think folks should be willing to ask people in the store. And I don't know, if you walk into Target and ask them, does this printer need an internet connection to install, you might get like a blank stare in return. But, that's information that they should be able to provide their customers. You mentioned the personal computer radio show, which used to follow us on WBAI. And, our friends Hank Key and Joe King, we love those guys very much. And I did want to let you know that, and anyone else listening, that they're still at it. They're a podcast nowadays. The podcast is called The Personal Computer Radio Show. But if you have podcast listening software, you should be able to search for that podcast and find it.
Hang on, Rob. Are they still on at the same time? Because if they are, they're on right now opposite our podcast.
They are not. Apparently, they stream at 6 p.m. Eastern, so they're right before us. But they're also a podcast, so you can, listen to that whenever.
So they're still around. That's great.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. That's wonderful, man. And that's the thing. The thing I know is that people got to call. And the thing with the smartphones, the smartphones, they're pretty much, they're at optimal level now. They're very convenient. They're fast. You know, 4G LTE is still fast for me. I don't need 5G. But the thing I hate with these smartphones, especially the Android ones, is you have that darn Google, that Google Assistant. And you can't just say, I try to disable it. Cause sometimes, you know, it's in your pocket and stuff, and the touchscreen is very sensitive. And that Google Assistant, it just comes on unexpectedly. They just, you know, they just can't learn to leave things at a certain level. They say, like all the Silicon Valley people, they come to conclusion. The phones are pretty much optimal for people who use. They're fast enough. You know, the features are very convenient. We only need to keep modernizing these things.
That's right.
Maybe once they could do it once every 5 years or 6 or 7 years. But that's the thing, you know, they change so many parameters with hardware and software, you just can't keep up.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be, expected to. They should be able to tailor their technology to meet your needs, not the other way around. And, but thanks for telling us the story. You know, I would definitely file some kind of complaint. I'm not sure who with, but if it's not printed in big letters on the box, requires internet connection to work or to install, then it's deceptive. It's very deceptive, and you're entitled to satisfaction, I think.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you guys. You're like one of the last shows on BAI. Because, people come and go.
Uh-huh.
But, I know the number of shows where, they have a lot of longevity. You guys have been on for four decades, right?
Since 1988, yes, just about.
Oh, 88? Oh,
yeah, that's the first one.
That's wonderful.
I think the second one was a couple of years after that, but, yeah. We've been around for a while, and it's been fun. It's been a time capsule if you listen to the old shows. But thanks for calling, and best of luck with all this in the future. Please keep us updated.
No problem.
All right, take care.
Okay, all right.
You know, on the subject of personal assistants and artificial intelligence, I play around with this quite a bit. I try to. And Gemini is one of the ones that I like to mess around with quite a bit. But, you know, if you ask Gemini any question concerning politics in any way, it refuses to answer. Have you guys tried this at all? They are so afraid. This is Google run. They are so afraid of being embroiled in any kind of controversy. They won't even tell you when the election is, because that's considered political. So they refuse to do that. Go ahead, try it. Go to Gemini and type, when is the next U.S. presidential election? And they will back out of that.
We have a phone call.
Yes. I'll read you the quote. I can't help you. I can't help with that right now. I'm trained to be as accurate as possible, but I can make mistakes sometimes. While I work on perfecting how I can discuss elections and politics, you can try Google search. It can't tell you when the election is. I wonder if I type, when is the next Canadian election, if the same thing will happen. It probably will. Yes, exact same words. So what good is artificial intelligence if it can be shut down and not talk about a certain subject at all? Which apparently our commentators also affected by. All right, fine. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time.
I got myself a little radio that has shortwave, shortwave 1 and shortwave 2. And I was really excited because I hadn't been near a radio that had them since I was a kid, and I wanted to see what faraway things I could listen to. And, I charge the thing up and I turn it on, and I can't get any stations on shortwave 1 or shortwave 2?
Well, shortwave 1 and shortwave 2 are artificial designations because what you really need to look at are the numbers, the kilohertz, like, you know, 5,480 or something. They vary tremendously. They go from the 2000s all the way up to the 18,000s. And some stations come in better. Some stations come in better in the daytime. And some stations come in better at night. It also depends greatly on where your radio is set up. If you have an antenna, and if so, what kind of antenna and the direction it's pointing in. It's not an easy thing. And shortwave is not the same as it was a decade or two ago, when there are so many more stations and so much less crap on the air. You should still be able to get some stations, though, some strong stations.
This has 3.2 through 10.0
okay.
in the shortwave 1 and 10.0 to 22.0 in the shortwave 2.
Okay, so the numbers before the point, those are thousands. So the first one, the one that starts at 3 and goes through 5, that is nighttime for the most part. The ones higher up tend to be better in the daytime. At least that's been my experience. So what I would do is just, you know, tune around the 5,000 area, around where it's 5, maybe 6, and see if you get any signals at all. If you don't, then look at the antenna connection and getting something as simple as a long wire antenna is all you need.
It just has, you know, one of those collapsible antennas. You know
okay.
what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's not a big fancy antenna.
It's a portable radio, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a few inches on the side.
Right. Now, is it a digital tuner or is it a knob?
Knob.
Okay, it's going to be hard to find things depending on how much space is allocated. You have to tune very slowly. But what I would do is go to a location away from electric lights, away from anything that could interfere. And, you know, ideally, you want to be in a quiet, dark place, which I know in New York it's not really easy to do. But sometimes just simply changing where the antenna is pointed by 90 degrees. For instance, if you have an antenna facing north-south, you will get more stations that broadcast from the east or west, and vice versa. If you aim the antenna east-west, you'll get more stations from the southern hemisphere or north. So those are ways of trying to tune things in. But it's also good to know what you're looking for. And, you know, there used to be this great book called Passport to Shortwave Radio or something along that line. There must be the equivalent online somewhere of a guide to shortwave frequencies, and that'll tell you the strength, the hours that they're on, because stations generally sign on for a couple of hours, then they sign off and move to a different frequency, because, as I said, some frequencies are better at some times. So it's not like turning on a regular radio and hearing a station 24 hours a day. It doesn't work that way.
Hmm. Okay. It looks as if it's going to be really hard.
It's not easy. It's not for the impatient, that's for sure. But you might find some interesting things. There are some pirate stations out there, too, you know?
Okay.
So.
Thank you for giving me all these tips.
Sure. And there's plenty more out there. Just got to look around for it a little bit. There's people that know so much more than I do.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks
for your call. I think we have time for one more, maybe two more. 802-321-4225. Mostly talking about hope. I think our Skype people are still awake. Are you guys awake out there?
Where was you?
Oh, there you are.
Right
okay.
here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard a word in a while, so just wanted to make sure. And Alex, it looks like you're giving a lecture to a crowd of people right now. Are you multitasking? That's Alex with his mute button on.
The day. There's
this is Alex with his mute button off.
Yeah.
What's this now?
But I did want to say, though, about Hope. Guess who the first person I saw at Hope was?
Well, probably Rebel, because he's the first everywhere. right?
That's right. Okay. It was Rebel. I couldn't believe it. I don't know how he did that. I literally walked in, and there was Rebel right there. And I said, I don't believe it. It's Rebel. When life imitates art, so to speak.
Because what we do here is art. Okay. All right, I'll take it. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I had the button pressed wrong. Let's try that again. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, this is Tim in Connecticut.
Tim in Connecticut. You know, I had a dream that we met you in a bar.
Yeah, there wasn't a dream. You might think of it, but...
uh-huh. Yeah, we rolled up on the Emerald Pub on Horace Harding Expressway right next to the LIE, and it was awesome. Just walked into the dive bar there next to the two hotels. And it was filled with hope people, and that's.
It was funny seeing the band pull up because it wasn't expected.
No, it never is expected. It just arrives.
No one expects the band. And curiosity, this is just a dumb question, an observation, if you will. With all the people that went to Hope, and I mean many, many hundreds, why do we only get 50 people on Off the Hook Overtime?
Well, you know, it's kind of confirming a theory I have that radio just brings in a lot more people than podcasts. It's why we always like to do radio and not just a podcast, because, you know, it's not something you tune into by accident. It's something you have to hunt down, and you're not necessarily listening to it live. You might just listen to it at your own convenience. So while great as far as reaching out to the world and eventually getting to a lot of people, as far as that immediacy of a broadcast, you can't match that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to say that the second time at St. John's, I think, was a vast improvement over the first time. But, of course, you know, everybody was getting their sea legs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the tighter group of being in just a short walk between all the buildings was great. I mean, the distance to park my car was just right around the corner. It was fantastic. Hotel choice was very nice. Nice to get the discounted valet rate.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all, you know, big thumbs up. You know, can't wait for the next one.
You know what's amazing is I saw people actually, I didn't suggest this or imagine people would do it, but they're walking between the hotel and the campus down Utopia Parkway. And I guess it wasn't really that long. You know, it's a direct route, so mm-hmm. Just walk down there and you know, in 15, 20 minutes, you're at the campus, I guess.
Yes, it's you know, you come out the hotel, make a left, and you go over, what, 73rd or 71st, and make a right, and you're there.
Well, I'd make a right outside the hotel, then make a left onto Utopia and just walk all the way down until you're at that intersection with Union Turnpike. But that's me.
Yeah.
So, any favorite moments from the conference?
My favorite? Oh, actually, I'm really stuck on the badges. That's great. But I mean, once we did registration, of course, there was the lockpicking village and all the different hackerspace there. Then turn around, go the other way, and there were all the vendors. That was fantastic to have them all in the same area.
Yeah. Yeah, they really worked out well. See, the thing is, we never know what's going to work and what's not going to work, so we're always trying new things, and we stick with the things that work, and we try to improve the things that need improvement.
Have you had any complaints?
I'm trying to think.
You can't please everybody every time.
No, I know that. Not really. I mean, nothing's coming to mind, other than there wasn't enough time to do everything. There's that.
That's always...
Some people complain about the heat, I think. Yeah, but, you know, again, not much we can do about that.
What can you do about that?
Right.
Have it at a different time of year, but...
Nobody asked me what I thought.
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh. I'm being asked?
Yeah, you're being asked now. We're all listening.
Well,
I should point out, Kyle did a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah, my vantage on the whole thing is just slightly different than most people, because I do... kind of fill in, and I was around the store a lot. If people saw me, I was doing well. Let's just say a lot of the pre-planning. I mean, we're really preoccupied in thinking about the event. Although this time for me, I kind of let go of some stuff and backed off a little. I think partly because there was a lot of, I think, just uncertainty, people, you know, wrangling and getting the word out and getting people aware that, hey, if we work on this together, if we put energy into it now, you know, it'll be a really, really amazing event. And I think in past years, I would kind of push harder than I did. And I think letting go a little bit, and I did not consciously because I wanted to be able to keep up and have the energy, of course, during the event to do those things I do there. But I just want to acknowledge that when you create the right circumstances and you kind of let go and let people bring the energy and the excitement and what projects they think they can do. And I just wanted to open up and just say, like, hey, and trust people that, you know, they want to do this, they want to work on this thing, they'll get it done, and if they can't, we'll work around, we'll have a backup plan. And I just really wanted to make sure everybody had the things they did leading up to it to support and make what they're going to bring to the event really awesome and fun for other people. So letting go a little bit, and even in that, I was really, you know, maybe more relaxed, but also really, even in letting go, focused on the event for quite a while beforehand. But during the event, I wanted to be just sort of witnessing it, doing what I had to do, but since we had put so much trust and people were really bringing as much as they could, you know, not everybody, things changed and, you know, things come up for people with family or with life, you know, they can't always make it, or you think somebody can make it and then, you know, in previous events, mm-hmm. road mishaps, you know, like a flat tire could totally change plans. So in light of that, just seeing what people put together, just, it really heartened me. And it really, I think, validates some of the work that we do outside of that weekend that feels kind of lonely. It just makes it definitely, you know, time well spent. And it's a real relief when you hear people had a good time and that there were, you know, comments or feedback. We're always welcome to that. That's how we make it a little bit better. But that... you know, that it was a good review and that there's, you know, nothing but fun and joy that people take away from it. That, I think, made me feel like renewed in a lot of ways where I was worried that we weren't doing enough or I think just uncertain. And so during the event to make a little bit more time to just relax and see how it went in the new space with the new configurations with lots of new people. I had people coming up, you know, hey, this is my first time, you know, my first event, you know, there was people that were like Rob, you know, hadn't been there in a long time or people that were, you know, old hats. I'd kind of been thinking like reconnecting. Maybe they'd been out of going to venues or things that we've been doing for a while, and they just kind of revisited the whole thing and were having a good time themselves. And also, that effort you made, I think we were very conscious about trying to get out to the Emerald Pub and see where we knew other people were congregating, and that magic of like just having a little bit of food options on site, I think seeing people linger around and just hang out, those were all really rewarding
things.
Well,
after midnight, and that's great.
Yeah, because those were things people had asked for that we'd maybe lacked in the previous iteration. And so to return, to reassemble, reconfigure all that, and then add a little bit where people could snack on something, get a coffee, and then make plans to go somewhere and congregate and do some mm-hmm. stuff outside of the event or go catch a late-night performance. Seeing the performances, knowing what difficulty that was with the production,
mm-hmm.
just seeing some of that come together. A lot really came together last minute, you know, and
it
we were
always does.
We were changing, you know, adjusting things and doing things in ways we had not done in a long time, in new ways. And again, that counted on us letting go a lot.
Yeah.
But, I will just say we also make it look a little too easy sometimes, and it's kind of hard to talk about that. And I would reiterate, it's just a huge relief that it went off and the uncertainties, you know, worked out in the end. And
yeah,
that's a real relaxing takeaway for me.
The one thing I think we really could use in the future are more volunteers, more people that can spend time helping with presenting talks or doing some AV stuff or whatever skill people might have, because it really, you know, it falls on a relatively small amount of people. And volunteering is not a bad thing. Volunteering is great, actually.
I have a few of those T-shirts myself.
Uh-huh, volunteer T-shirts, that's right. You get T-shirts, but you also get the experience, and you learn a lot about the conference, and you become a lot more a part of it. We had, a lot of people told us this, a really young crowd, a lot more young people than you would expect to see at a conference like this, which is great. You know, we want to be able to pass things on to more people and get more people involved and with fresh ideas and things like that. It was also our first conference without Cheshire and Jim, mm-hmm, as well, former co-host of this show. So it was hard on that level, you know, and but it felt like a real turning point.
The amount of work that's done that we don't see, or as I say we, as or myself, as the public side of it, has got to be huge. I mean, you know, running up to it, all the giveaways, the coordination, the tickets, the conference, the hotels, etc. And then, of course, everything behind that, the people that have to be arranged, the talks and all that. There's so much stuff that must happen behind the scenes that we never see. And, I mean, that's what I think really blows me away. Just having as many talks as you do over a course of 3 days is just... This is why I hope should never be missed.
Yeah, no, like, that's... I'm not going to say it's an understatement, but it is the type of thing where we kind of... Like the OpenBSD, like pufferfish or something, but, like, we kind of inflate into this giant, big, larger than what we normally are organization that is both physical and virtual and spans expertise. There are things that we do, organizational things, leadership, you know, we have a really good pool of really talented, capable people, but they're actually absorbing roles, taking on things that they hadn't before. We could be doing a lot better if people were tasked with less individually, and that's something that we're going to be discussing very, very soon, actually, in some of our post-conference discussions. And that takes new volunteers. The other thing is we don't necessarily know the direction. And I'm grappling with this a lot. I don't know about E or other people, but what this event was when I started, it has become and is something that it is. There are a lot of differences. It is not the same thing that it was when I got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I feel really good about what we have accomplished, but I'm hungry. I really want a lot more coordination. I don't want overbearing, domineering, but I really want more communication. I think that was something over and over again. Whenever there was a hiccup, it was because someone wasn't communicating, and someone took on more than they could and didn't say that, and didn't ask for a workaround or help. And so those are the kinds of things, like, we can't really impose expectations on volunteers, but we need them to say that they cannot, what they cannot do, what their limitations are, and then we can act to work around that. But it does end up taxing a lot of the people that are already contributing as much as they can. So we don't really know a whole lot of the direction that the conference wants to take, because it's about the people that attend it. It's about the people that submit talks. We have a fantastic speaking committee. they're always adding and, you know, changing, but very much committed to that process. And we even employed different tools and things along the way. And a big part of, like, what I do that a lot of people might not know is design stuff, but not actually doing the design. We have an incredibly talented artist and designer that helps us, but having continuity and then also filling in in-house stuff from past hopes, you know, archival stuff, and then just really, like, making sure that color schemes and the design is available and that the artist knows what people need, and we get thing, we have like, it's basic design continuity for whatever the theme is. And we've worked with a specific theme for the last two events. That's not typical, but we've continued the tradition of changing the names. Those are all the sorts of details that people think about outside of it. And so I guess I'm saying that as we bring people in, we're very cognizant that, like, it's going, it's taking on its own direction, but it's still sort of uniquely Hope. So the topics sort of move in different directions. Sometimes they're a little more this way or that way, but we want to continue that with more competence, more people, because it's, like I said, it's an organization that inflates kind of big, punches above its weight, and is amorphous, right, and volunteer-based, and that's our power. And
I like the analogy of the puffer fish.
We totally rely, yeah, we got to have, when we're doing that, we need to have it expand to that quickly, you know, and in an organized way and with people that we can count on and that communicate when they realize they can't come through with something. And then, of course, building in a vision and a leadership and, I think, a direction that we're going. And I think what that means for us and has meant is returning to what our core is about, which is educating people, sharing about technology, informing the general public about emerging concepts, emerging theory, emerging products, technology, stuff that is on the horizon or that we're grappling with. And that's really what the event is about. And it also is about connecting people and, you know, sharing about things. But, like, we had new vendors. One of the vendors that I suggested and I was really happy was there was a group that was that had information about harm reduction. And that was something that I just thought was worth suggesting. Other people liked the idea, and I think it really fit with a lot of the wellness and health stuff we're concerned about. And also just overall trends with culture and what's out there. And I think understanding substances and supply chains for drugs and spreading that information, I think, is critical, especially when you have young people that are, you know, testing boundaries. And again, that's not necessarily something a lot of the old school hackers might be thinking about, but we want to be serving the time that we're living in. And so thinking of things that I think that are pertinent to the time and to the moment takes insight from more volunteers and people that are younger or a part of other networks or just not us. Like, we don't necessarily want to be the people that are putting the strictures on this. And that that's kind of all I want to say, is that we're keen to keep it to, you know, what people know it for and what it's been, what consistency's been there, but we're always looking ahead and expanding and where areas where we can improve and be more and speak more to the moment. And I just want to, like, set that as our tone and kind of what I'm looking for, because some of what I think I'm involved with and that I'm, you know, it is a group of individuals, and I'm not necessarily sure I like the plane that I'm on or flying all the time, and it's hard. So we need to communicate, and we need to be intentional about what we're working on together, and I just want to keep with that core of, like, at least providing information and conversation and informing the general world about what modern hacking is.
It's time to to land the plane and refuel and hopefully be stronger. But any other points, caller? Because we're going to probably call it a night.
Not at all. I wanted to hop off and let somebody else get the last word in.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful evening.
All right. Thanks for calling and thanks for being at Hope. And we'll see you at the next week. I just asked Gemini. Yeah, I'm trying to cause trouble with Gemini here. When was the last Hope conference? And Gemini said there seems to be a misunderstanding. That's never a good sign. There are two main conferences that use the acronym HOPE. Did you know that? Number one, Hackers on Planet Earth, HOPE. This conference series ended with the last HOPE in 2008. Yeah, so apparently everything that followed 2008 has been our imagination. In case you're wondering, the second one is Healthcare Options and Possibilities Expo, also known as HOPE. This is a healthcare-focused event that has multiple locations and dates throughout the year. Well, I don't care about them. I responded saying, according to Hope.net, there have been Hope conferences every 2 years since 2008. The last one was this year from July 12th through 14th, 2024. And Jim and I responded, you're absolutely right. I apologize for the confusion. The information I found about the last Hope in 2008 being the final conference was outdated. You've correctly identified that Hope.net is the website for the ongoing Hackers on Planet Earth Hope Conference Series. According to their website, Hope conferences are indeed held biannually every 2 years, and the most recent one, Hope XV, took place from July 12th to 14th, 2024, as you mentioned. Thank you for pointing out the inaccuracy in my previous response. I'm still under development and learning to access and process information effectively. Those last two lines, by the way, I'm going to use at every opportunity when somebody asks me a question I don't know the answer to. I'm curious, now that I've corrected Gemini, for the people out there who would like to ask the same question and see if, I don't know why I keep saying she, but I think Gemini is a she, if she has gotten it right, if she has learned from her mistakes.
Did you think Gemini was a she when she was Bard?
Bard?
Yeah, Gemini's Bard.
What do you mean, Bard?
I thought it was Gemini, like Gemini Cricket, but...
You remember Bard? You used to work with Bard?
Oh, Bard. That's right. Bard.google.com. Gemini
yeah,
used to be Bard.
No, Gemini used to be Bard.
No, Bard was a guy.
No,
Bard was a guy. And now Gemini Gemini is female. I mean, I'm not sure how I know that. I just do.
So are you dead naming?
No, not at all.
Gemini?
I may have.
I didn't say Bard.
All right.
Well, I'm saying it now, but
okay, Gila, is getting messy quick.
Yeah.
Okay, however,
point is,
I asked them.
Yeah.
I asked Gemini. And the answer I got was the last Hope conference, as in the final one, was held in July 2008. It was originally planned to be the last due to the scheduled demolition of the venue Hotel Pennsylvania. However, the name has been reused for subsequent conferences, with the most recent one being Hope XV in July 2024.
Okay, well, that's actually kind of accurate. Amazing.
It's a way to train AI.
Okay, all right. Well, let's all train AI together. But, Gila, why don't you ask when the next election is? Or anything. And it won't tell you, right?
It won't tell me.
It won't even tell you the rules of the Senate or anything having to do with any kind of political... subject matter at all, and you know, you could turn off any subject, I guess, with artificial intelligence. It's it kind of makes it useless.
I asked who's the president of the United States. It can't tell me.
It won't tell you that.
Nope.
So it thinks maybe Trump won the election. Is that what they're saying? Okay, hold on. I'm typing right now. Did Donald Trump win the 2020 election? There is only one answer to this question, and not talking about it is not the right answer. And the answer is, I can't help with responses on elections and political figures right now. And then the usual crap after that.
Guys?
Yes?
It's 9:30.
Yeah.
We've been after showing for an hour and a half.
I'm asking if Kermit the Frog won the last election.
There are no phone calls on the line?
No, we're done.
Okay.
I thought we signed off already. Yeah, it won't tell me if Kermit the Frog won either. All right. Whoever's calling is too late. We're done. We're finished. It's we're doing this an hour and a half, and we did a show before that. So any last words from you guys?
Just hope was great. Thank you to everyone who went. Thank you to everyone who presented. It felt good to be home. You know, home is not where it used to be in the Hotel Pennsylvania. Hello, dinner. But, you know, it's still home.
That's true. That's true. It really felt like home this time. Alex, any final word from you? You know your mic is muted, right? It's still muted. How about you just wave? All right, Alex is saying goodnight. It's been a long night. Thank you, everybody, on YouTube. Write to us, oth@2600.com. We will see you next week. Good night.